Well, it sure is Monday. Pretty much all day, Monday, the news according to me. Well, I guess, I don't have another microphone hooked up this morning, which is going to be a little bit annoying. I've got just the computer microphone here that I have nothing else plugged into it. Normally I have another microphone there. It's a fine morning. I got some water here. I don't even have a cup. I have a bottle of water. I am currently back in my home away from home here in Appleton, Wisconsin, in a hotel. I might be able to have a live broadcast sometime this week, probably in an evening. Probably going to be in a morning show. Absolutely. That's probably more likely. Well, we'll see how it goes. I'm going to have one. I usually get done right now. It's currently, by the way, it's 9:18 on Monday morning, February 7th. I'm sorry, March 7th. Boy, where am I? I missed a whole month there. March 7th, 2022. We have a lot going on in the world. I don't know if you guys have heard about, the protests that are going on. And apparently the leader of the country is now cracking down on those individuals and going after them, going after their bank accounts, going after, putting them in prison. anybody who protests are being hauled off the street. And then there's also what's going on in Russia. I was talking about Canada. I don't know if you were aware. Canada apparently taught Putin how to do this. Trudeau is in good company, apparently, because now Putin's doing the same thing with his people. The people who are protesting the war in Russia are now, and I know I have some listeners in Russia, surprisingly, I have listeners in Russia, and I greatly appreciate you listening, and I hope that I can bring some hope to you throughout this. Right now, currently, I think they've pretty much shut things down in Russia in terms of the internet. I'm not sure how much is getting through to Ukraine. I know that Ukraine, let me see here on the map here, Ukraine. Currently, according to this, I have no listeners in the Ukraine, in Ukraine itself. Russia has had many in the past. It's not very high right now. I don't know why. I did have, over the weekend, however, I had a rather large number of listeners altogether. I mean, just in general terms. Some from Australia. Still none from New Zealand, which I find that surprising, considering where everybody else has been listening from. It just seems a little odd to me that seems a little odd. I don't know. Every other country, with most Western countries have listened to this show, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. Anyway, most of them want to tune in to find out what's in my cup. And what's in my cup this morning? Like I said, I have no cup. All I have is, I was going to fix myself some chai, and I sat down to start the show. And of course, I do these shows, by the way, live. I record them, but they're live. They're seamless. I don't edit anything on these, unless there's some weird thing that happens. I think I've maybe two shows where I had to push the pause button, and because there was technical issues. But other than that, it's just you're getting it. You're getting it right from the skinny here, right? You're getting the whole thing. So apparently, the reports I've been hearing from Russia right now, which is where Putin, according to our illustrious former vice president, one of his comments over the weekend was that Putin has decided to invade Russia. Maybe somebody wants to inform him that he is the president of Russia. Not Joe. Joe, don't tell Joe that he's the president of Russia. Tell Joe that Putin is the president of Russia. If you tell, well, or maybe we should tell Joe he's the president of Russia. He would probably, maybe he would enjoy that. king of Russia for a day. You know, there's so many things going on. Everything from Lindsey Graham to the Russian oil issue to there was another, I believe, a congresswoman, of course, a Democrat, tweeted out over the weekend, possibly Friday, maybe it was last week. It might have been Friday or Thursday or Friday last week. I think I heard it over the weekend, so it must have happened during the week. She tweeted out that we should kick Putin and Russia out of NATO. Now, I don't know. I don't know how smart my audience is. I have no idea. I've never taken an IQ test to my listeners, and I don't know what you know about NATO. Whether you understand what NATO is. NATO is an alliance against Russia. Russia has never been a member of NATO. Now, maybe she means the UN. Maybe she means something else. You have to understand what the UN is about. Apparently, she has no clue, understands anything about the United Nations and the corruption that goes on there. Apparently, you know, the World Health Organization, which is a part of the UN, was not enough to you know, explain to her through that whole process of what was going on during COVID for the last 2 years, how corrupt they were in the whole process of all of this. Speaking of corruption, there's a study on ivermectin that just came out. Dr. John Campbell recently, just this morning, in fact, released a report, peer-reviewed study, the first actual real study of its kind was a study, comparison study with remdesivir. Now, ivermectin is, everybody says it's animal medicine or it's horse paste, whatever you want to call it. Of course, that narrative got started on CNN, of all places, you know, most reliable news network, that network, whatever. See, the problem with this is that the study is it's a bombshell in terms of what ivermectin does. Now, the two people who were jointly responsible for inventing or creating, discovering, whatever you want to call it, ivermectin, which can be produced, by the way, it's so cheap that it's almost more expensive to package it. The packaging is more expensive than the drug. In the case of remdesivir, one vial, one treatment, basically, is over $300. Needless to say, packaging it is not anywhere near the cost of that. And I'll get into that maybe a little bit later in the show here. The show, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know. I wonder if I can move this little thing here. Yeah, I can move that. Okay, we're going to move that out a little bit. I just extended the length of the show by quite a bit there, just by one click of my mouse. Because I basically have my bumper music to come in at a certain point. So when I hear that coming in, I know it's time to be done. So I kind of set myself a limit so I don't just keep on rambling like I do when I'm at home. See, that's just on my laptop here. That's what I do on my laptop. And I realize the sound quality on my laptop is not good at all. It's probably clipping. It's probably getting all kinds of this, especially the microphone on this thing. It's probably not any good. I tried to set it up with a Bluetooth microphone, and that's not doing anything. It wasn't connecting through the software. But needless to say, just the skinny of it. If you get a chance to listen to Dr. John Campbell or check out his channel, the study is absolutely scandalous. I mean, what it reveals is, of course, it's not going to be well taken. In fact, I'm surprised that his YouTube show, his channel, his video, everything has not been taken down because of this whole process. And when he starts talking numbers, a lot of times it goes against the narrative that the media is trying to put out there. In fact, he has had some strikes against him because of and all he does is report the numbers. They're coming from, that's all he does. He does all the math, figures it all out. Worldwide numbers coming out. And only conclusion he draws, of course, is that, you know, you need to be vaccinated and whatever. He's pro-vaccine. He's, you know, and that's just ridiculous. But The statistic I'm going to give you is absolutely shocking. In this study, the number of deaths, based on number of deaths, even the number of hospitalizations, I'm just going to talk about the death rate initially here. I won't get into the whole study. If you want to listen to the whole thing, you can talk to Dr. John. You can listen to Dr. John Campbell's show on his channel. The numbers are very clear. You had a 70% less, 70% less chance of dying when you took properly administered ivermectin over remdesivir. That's a huge difference. In fact, hospitalizations was almost the same. It's almost the same number. Reduced hospitalizations by almost the same amount. I'm not going to get into all, I can't remember all those numbers, so I'm not going to get into it. But when I heard that number, my jaw hit the floor. It wasn't just, 5%, some kind of, on the positive side of the error. It was 70% less chance of death with proper treatment of remdesivir. This is a huge difference. Excuse me. And I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen with this? Of course, it's all been covered up with the war right now is more important. Like I said, this is, they use the news cycle to their advantage right now. And right now, the news cycle is everything about Ukraine and what's going on there. Speaking of Ukraine, let me talk about apparently, I think it was last week, Lindsey Graham apparently was on a news show of some kind, and he called on Putin's military, somebody within the military, just called on them to take him out. In other words, to assassinate him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that the armies of Russia, the soldiers, the generals, those in the military there, probably are not, they weren't just sitting around waiting for someone to tell them to do that. And I'm pretty sure if there's anybody on the planet that they're waiting to tell them to do something, it's probably not going to be Lindsey Graham. So you have to ask yourself, why would Lindsey Graham make that kind of a statement? Is he hoping that it happens and that he can take credit for it? There's other reasons why Lindsey would say something like this. Remember, political theater. All of a sudden, Lindsey Graham is very popular. Now, the outcry, and which I listened to Mark Levin, and his response to this was, so Lindsey Graham asks for an uprising from his military to take the guy out. A person that we all think right now at this point is in ways his popularity is at an all-time low in the West. He's just attacked another country unprovoked. He's killing women and children. And for some reason, for Lindsey Graham to call on his assassination is some kind of ridiculous thing to call for. Now, when I first heard it, I was like, well, it's a gray area. This is a very thin line. When you start to attack another leader from another country, you're looking at, this is an act of war. If we were to do it, if our CIA went in and assassinated, or if we, if our troops walked in there and assassinated Putin, it would be an act of war. Now, Putin has hired mercenaries, as well as his own soldiers, who are going into Ukraine. I think there's been at least two attempts now on Vladimir Zelensky's life since he's been there, and these mercenaries are trying to get him. They're paying a lot of them to try to infiltrate and get in there, do this. And you have to stop and think, okay, how do you know who's the mercenary and who's not? How do you know in a city full of millions of people? This is where it is very important for us to have social networks and for those networks to be connected to other networks. And so we know who each other are. In a situation like this, you know, people, outsiders. Now, if you have a small neighborhood where you've got, you know, you kind of know everybody in the neighborhood or you recognize everybody in the neighborhood, somebody's walking around in the neighborhood that doesn't belong there. Somebody that, you know, a car is parked out there that with somebody in it. It's, you know, we've never seen that car in our neighborhood before. People take notice. They know this person isn't not from around here, are you? Kind of stuff. You know, that's the kind of thing that starts to happen. Once in a while, I'll be driving down. I live at the end of a dead end road, but it's in a little housing addition. And my property is all up against woods all around, and it's a fairly small, there's probably, I think, 15 or 20 houses, maybe 15, 20 houses in our little neighborhood. Depends on how you count them. Our little subdivision, whatever you want to call it. It's an old kind of Yuppieville type place from the 70s. And it's not one of the new popular Yuppievilles where houses are 2 feet apart, but it's not an apartment, but you still call it, you know, your own home, but you can hear your neighbors in the house next door kind of thing. It's not that way at all. So there's very little traffic on our road. Basically the only people who live there drive through. Once in a while, somebody comes in down the road that thinks that road goes through to another road, and they'll come down our driveway, which is about 1,000 feet long, and they'll come down the driveway and get to our house and realize, I'm at someone's house. Of course, by that point, if the dogs are outside, they're all, you know, they're going nuts. And usually they get about halfway down the driveway. If the dogs are there, they'll hear the dogs barking. It's because anything moves in the neighborhood. The one dog I have, if he even sees a car down anywhere on the road down the road coming towards our direction or any place, anything, any kind of movement down there at all, he's barking. He's got a big bark. And so they're, you know, most of them will, you know, they'll see the dogs, they'll back up right away. They just turn around. Oh, they got dogs. We're going. See you later. Sometimes they don't. But if the dogs are in the house, they, of course, they'll just pull right on down the driveway and get to the house, and they're like, oh, I guess this doesn't go through anywhere. And they're done. Anyway. So it's a pretty quiet neighborhood. So you gotta remember, in a situation like this, they need to have a network of people that they know. So that when people from the outside, people from Russia come in there, mercenaries or whoever it is, insiders, they need to be able to recognize those people and realize they don't belong there. They must be there for the wrong reasons. It is a very tedious situation. So that was the Lindsey Graham issue. And then we've got this whole Russia oil thing. Let's talk about oil for a second. The amount of oil we import from Russia is about, I've heard different things. It ranges anywhere from 2% to 4% of our input of the oil that we import comes from Russia. 2 to 4% of it. That's a pretty good chunk, actually, when you think about the global scale of, you know, who all produces oil and, you know, where we get it all. Sadly, we were a net exporter of energy. In other words, we were energy independent up until about January 20th of last year, when a certain vice president decided we were going to change all that. Good move. So now we are beholden to them to some degree. Now, the question, and I keep hearing this from people, the fact that we're still importing any oil at all from Russia is kind of really weird, considering we're basically in a Cold War situation with them. And what I am, I guess, more perplexed about is why nobody's talking about not how much oil we import from them, but how much of that oil that we import, what is the percentage of their exports that we're taking? Are we, of all the oil that they export, are we taking 10% of it? Or are we taking 15% of it? How much of a hurt can we put on them by stopping that 3%? My guess is it's more than 3%. make it sound like it's a small amount. Well, it is a small amount compared to how much we use, but how much they export, how much of that is that really a small amount? Is it half of their oil? I'm sure it's not half. Most of it's going to Europe. My understanding is that they're slowing that down as well, making decisions. Putin knows that as the year goes on and the summer comes, Europe doesn't need as much. They're not as beholden to it. This puts him in a weaker position throughout the summer. He is attacking now ports in Ukraine, port cities. He knows he needs to be able to take those over because then he can bring his ships in, he can bring other things in, he can bring, you know, heavy equipment in from other areas and continue to penetrate Ukraine. Now this battle is getting very much longer and drawn. He was expecting this to be over in a couple days. He literally thought that Zelensky was going to run off. He thought the Ukrainian people were going to give up and just go, okay, well, you know, this government's corrupt, that government's corrupt, what's the difference? Let's just save ourselves and let them take over. Didn't happen that way. The big issue here is that Zelensky, when he was elected, now I know he's a bit of a character. Some things have been shown of him. He's not exactly the most upright moral individual, right? Just in terms of, at least he wasn't when he was a comedian. He did some pretty racy things. However, keep in mind, this guy's been the leader of a country. That kind of responsibility changes a person. You know, we have seen someone now who is committed to staying there, committed to being the leader of the country, and he's more of a you know, more of a man of the people, I think, than what I think people expected him to be. Someone who cares more about the country than I think his enemies, his political opponents would have you believe. And it's, you know, of course, this is unifying Ukraine in ways that you can't even imagine, I'm sure. People depend on it, start depending on each other. That's, you know, that kind of puts away all the political issues. Unless they politicize the issues. But the interesting part about this is how he has really stepped up as a leader, in my opinion. Nothing like Afghanistan, where the leader was gone the day that after the Americans left, pretty much the next week he was gone on a plane full of money. He didn't even ask for help. He just, see you later. I'm out of here. Good luck with all that. So I think that that Zelensky has, in some ways, over the course of his term in office, has kind of changed the hearts of people, given them some hope. Now, I heard this crazy, weird lady talking the other day on the news. I think it was last night, actually. I heard the report about who Putin is. And when Putin was reelected, they were talking about who Putin is. And when he was reelected, or when he was elected as president of the country, of Russia. And this lady said he was going to make Russia great again. Which, I'm not sure if she meant it to be or not, but I'm sure that the left would love to take that and twist it all around. I was looking at some headlines the other day. It was MSNBC, and the headline was, "Why didn't..." Or they said the reason Putin didn't invade Ukraine when Trump was in office. When I saw it, I smelled a rat. I didn't even bother listening to the report because I knew it was going to be so phony and so fake and so made up. They've come up with some kind of reason that Trump was in cahoots with Putin. They can't get this out of their head. Even though nothing has been proven in this respect. But somehow, they were going to twist something into this idea Trump had this relationship with Putin and he was keeping them from going into Ukraine because they made a deal. It's just absolutely ridiculous stuff. So, I hear my bumper music coming in, so I'm going to go ahead and I guess what I'll do is, God bless. See you later. Talk to you tonight.